Psalm 103, 1 through 14. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust.
Boy, Psalm 103, you read that? If that doesn't stir your heart, if that doesn't move you, whereas when someone from down south said, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. The blessing's there. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. If that weren't true, we would be consumed. But we're in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read the verses 1 through 10 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, it's contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you that you are merciful, that you've freely given us your grace, your mercy. We ask that you would bless us even freely now, as undeserving as we are, with understanding of your word. We pray that you would direct us, our thoughts, and our responses. Amen. Last week I attempted to convey some of the riches that are ours as a result of being made priests by our union with Christ in salvation. And I also pointed out six characteristics of the Old Testament priesthood that parallel in the New Testament the priesthood of all believers. We are chosen by God to be priests. We are cleansed from all sin before we serve God as priests. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit for service as priests. We are prepared for serving as priests. And as priests, we are called to obedience. Verse 5 says, we believers are being built up into a spiritual house, and we serve in that house as priests. We serve in the as the habitation of God, and we serve as priests. So what is the privilege? What is the duty of priests? Priests offered sacrifices to God. There were various sacrifices, and our text here says we are to offer spiritual sacrifices. The Old Testament priests offered, for the most part, material, physical sacrifices. Believer priests are being built up to offer spiritual sacrifices. Christ's sacrifice of himself on the cross as payment for our sins erased the need for repeated animal sacrifices. Christ's once for all sacrifice as the perfect man, as the perfect Lamb of God, took away our sins. Now the only sacrifices remaining for believer priests to offer are spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual doesn't mean only non-physical. Okay. Primarily, it means sacrifices that are motivated by the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to be controlled with the Spirit. And we should never forget that the Spirit is a person. The Spirit is a He. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is God. And He can be offended. He can be quenched. He can be resisted. And we as believers need to be instead controlled by the Spirit and motivated. And that's the idea here of spiritual sacrifices. The Old Testament priests, although they offered material, physical, animal sacrifices, were aware that they could go through the motions and their mind, their heart, their will, their spirit not be in it, and it would be just a sham. The person who brought the sacrifice to the priest, and the priest was supposed to offer on their behalf, if that person bringing the sacrifice wasn't motivated by the Spirit, even though they brought a physical sacrifice, if they were not in tune mentally, spiritually, if their heart was not in it, then the priest's sacrifice, again, meant nothing. And we read oftentimes in the Old Testament that God hated their sacrifices because they weren't brought with that intent, with that motivation. If you turn to Hosea, chapter 14, Hosea is the book just following Daniel. Hosea chapter 14. Find Daniel and one book to the back. Hosea 14, which I believe is the last chapter of Hosea. I want to read verses 1, 2, and 3 and see how it was understood by those who desire to understand it, even in the Old Testament, that the sacrifices were a symbol of what should have been happening inwardly. Hosea 14, verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say to him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless finds mercy. In the Lord the fatherless finds mercy. And it says, take away our iniquity. Be gracious unto us. Why? Why did they need the Lord to take away all iniquity? Why did they need the Lord to be gracious? Because they had sinned. Look in verse 3. Asher will not save us, will not ride on horse. They sinned by not trusting the Lord to take care of them, to protect them. They also sinned through idolatry. They called the work of their hands our gods. And so they were encouraged by the prophet, "We will render the calves of our lips." Not physical animal sacrifices. We will render sacrifices from our mouths. They understood it was a spiritual type of sacrifice, even in the Old Testament. And it says in 1 Peter 2, it's a spiritual house that we are being built up to. And we are offering, it matches spiritual sacrifice. We, believers, are put together as bricks. The metaphor there is stones, lively, living stones, are being built up by God into a spiritual house. And we are priests. And in this spiritual house, we offer spiritual sacrifices. And those sacrifices are only acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We cannot offer up to God our own works. We cannot offer up to God our own efforts. We have to offer to God things that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Our own works are not acceptable. They are odious in His nostrils. They stink. And the Holy Spirit motivates us so that we can offer things that are acceptable to God. Those that please God and those that glorify the Lord Jesus. Do you see the Trinity there in verse 5? We offer spiritual sacrifices prompted by the Holy Spirit. We offer them that are acceptable to God the Father. How are they made acceptable? By God the Son, Jesus Christ. The whole Godhead is involved, not just in our salvation, but in our growth, our sanctification, in our service to the Lord. The entire Godhead is involved in our lives right now. And the Holy Spirit has not left us without direction here. Okay, we don't have to guess what these spiritual sacrifices are. We don't have to trial and error and see, is this sacrifice acceptable to God? We know from last week that we could offer wrong sacrifice and suffer for it, as a Nadab and Abihu suffered for it. God destroyed them for offering strange fire. Now the New Testament sets forth at least 7 sacrifices that it identifies as acceptable. Acceptable for believer priests to offer. And so we will briefly look at these 7. Our bodies, our praise, our good works, our possessions, our converts, our love, and our prayers. All of these are motivated by the Holy Spirit and acceptable to God because of Jesus Christ. Number 1, if you turn to Romans 12, this is a familiar passage. We're so familiar with it, we almost treat it as commonplace. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, in light of what he has said in Romans 1 through 11, specifically in Romans 11, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And what is it? It's our reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world. Don't be made like the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Our acceptable, God-honoring sacrifice begins when we offer ourselves to God. When it says our bodies, it's not talking just physical, it's our entire being. Our mind, our body, our goals, our ambitions. The lost six chapters earlier in Romans 6, yield their body members, their body parts, to sin, which leads to death. The redeemed are commanded to yield our body parts to God as instruments of righteousness, which leads to life. Romans chapter 6. God does not want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. And it's only when saints, believers, offer God everything that we are, everything in our life, everything we possess, everything we hope for, that we can present Him a living sacrifice that is acceptable. If you turn to Hebrews 13, there are three of them in this short passage. Hebrews 13, we'll read verses 15, 16, and 17. Hebrews 13, another spiritual sacrifice that's acceptable to God. Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 15. By Him, by who? By Christ, because only through Him can we please God. Only through Him can we be acceptable to God. And anything we give to God, only by Christ. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So that brings back the idea of Hosea. We will render unto you the calves of our lips. Here it's the praise of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And offering praise, worship, thanks to God is more than just saying praise the Lord, more than saying hallelujah, more than singing I worship you or I love you. It's more than that. It involves recognizing who God is, praising Him for His attributes, and recognizing what God has done, praising Him for His works. And if you turn to Psalm 68, another Psalm 68 that is declaring God's glories. I said 68, I'm sorry, 96. Psalm 96. Don't ever trust me. Always check it out. Psalm 96. Keep your finger in Hebrews 13. We'll be back there. Psalm 96. Verses 1 through 10. O sing unto the Lord. Let's see, that's not the one. What do I have? I wasn't going to have you turn there. I was going to read it off the sheet that I copied off, which says Psalm 96. Oh, verse 3. There we go. Starting in verse 3. Whew. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say unto the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Do you see how the psalmist there is going back and forth between praising the Lord for who He is, His attributes, and for what He has done, for His works? God is great. He made the world. All the other gods are just idols. And as idols, they are idle. They can't move. They can't do anything. And notice how this mixes very comfortably, without any tension, without any contradiction, praising God for who He is, for what He has done, and fearing Him for who He is and what He's done. It mixes that. Fear Him. Praise Him. Give glory to His name. Praise God. The fruit of our lips. Back in Hebrews 13 now.
we offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And then in verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. And that phrase, have the rule over, is the idea of guiding. But to do good, forget not. With such a sacrifice, God is well pleased. It gives us two sacrifices here, in verse 16. Doing good involves doing what's right, doing what's righteous, what honors God. Any good work done with the idea, with the intention to please God, whether it's the rebuke of a brother who's sinning with the idea, the attempt to restore him, whether it's reaching out to a lost one, whether it's extending some kindness to a Christian brother or a lost person, whether it's helping a fellow believer, encouraging them, whether it's studying the Word, listening expectantly to the Word being preached, all those are spiritual sacrifices that glorify God. Those are good works if they're motivated by the Spirit, not out of selfish pride. And it also says to remember to communicate. That means to share or to be generous. It involves giving up your own resources, whether money, whether time, or something else, to meet the needs of someone else. If you turn to Philippians 4, we'll see how Paul gives an example of this, and he uses the same word, communicate. Philippians 4, sharing, being generous. Philippians 4, we'll begin in verse 10. Philippians 4, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want meaning lack, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When you quote that verse, understand the context. Paul is saying, I have learned to be content when I'm hungry, when I'm poor, when I am abased. And I have learned to be content when I'm prospering and am full and have all things. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my afflictions. Communicate, that you shared. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. How did the Philippian church communicate? Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, even when Paul had left Philippi and went to Thessalonica, ye sent once and again to my necessity. They shared. They were generous. They sent gifts. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. For I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now, how does he label them? An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So another spiritual sacrifice that is acceptable to God is when we share with other believers. When we share. They shared with Paul sacrificially. And it was an acceptable sacrifice that was well-pleasing to God. Just think of that. The Holy Spirit
motivates us
to do this. And when we simply obey the Holy Spirit, that pleases God.
Fifthly, if you turn to Romans 15.
Romans 15. How many did I say there were? The New Testament gives at least 7. So we're on 15.
Sorry. We're on number 5,
Romans 15. For our fifth sacrifice. Look in verses 15 and 16. Romans 15, verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that's given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Why? That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Paul says, by the grace of God, I'm a minister to the Gentiles so that I can offer up to God these Gentiles as a sacrifice to God that's acceptable. Being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Our converts, our reconciled sinners, those that we had a part in sharing the gospel with, in bringing to Christ, we can offer to God. Believers, have you ever offered this sacrifice? Now, some of the folks that we have witnessed to, we don't see come to the Lord. We may lose contact. You take that church card and pray for the next person to pick it up as you stick it in where the card reader or hand it to a clerk or whatever. Stick it in a bill that you mail, if anybody actually mails bill payments for bills anymore. There's okay, detour. You know those credit card applications that you get? Almost all of them come with a postage paid envelope, right? Don't throw those away. Put a track in them, seal it up, and mail it back. Someone's got to open that. Pray that they'll read it, that the Lord will use that. Put a personal note in there if you want. That'd be even better. They'll be more likely to read it. Back on track. The souls that you witness to, when they trust Christ and are born again, are a spiritual sacrifice, acceptable to God. They're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. One of the spiritual sacrifices that we can offer to God. Sixthly, in Ephesians 5, it suggests the sixth one. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Our sacrificial love one for another. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And I thought of an illustration or a story I read years ago. Following God as a little child. Father was working in the garden. He had told his son, I don't remember how young, say 3 years old, to stay out of the garden. Father was working, doing things, and he turned around. There was his son behind him. He said, I thought I told you to stay out of the garden. And the son said, but it's okay, Dad. Look, I'm walking only in your footsteps. Kind of grabs you. What kind of path, what kind of example am I leaving for those, maybe my children, flesh and blood, maybe others that will follow me? Ephesians 5:1, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now this is talking specifically about Christ's offering in love for us. But we are to be followers of that. We are to love one another fervently, as Peter says, sacrificially, as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sweet-smelling savor, sacrifice to God, so we should demonstrate selfless, sacrificial, fervent love one toward another.
And lastly,
Revelation chapter 8. The New Testament portrays our prayers as an acceptable sacrifice to God. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4.
This is the beginning of
the seventh seal. Verse 8, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, right? The instrument to offer incense, a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Our prayers are mingled, if you will, with incense that an angel offers before the throne of God, and it comes up into the nostrils of the Lord. Our prayers.
When we pray,
God honors, He accepts the humble, the earnest, the heartfelt prayers of His children as a spiritual sacrifice. And what can we pray for? We pray for our daily bread. We pray for forgiveness as we forgive others. We pray for our leaders. We're commanded to pray for all kinds of things, not just our civil leaders, but church leaders, for our family leaders. We pray for God's will to be done on earth as it's done in heaven. We pray for our lost loved ones. All these, when they're done in a Christ-honoring way, not like the publicans who prayed long, flowing prayers to be heard of men. That was their reward. Jesus taught, when you pray, go into your closet and pray in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward openly. The fact that we get to pray is a blessing. If you turn to Malachi chapter 1, last week we looked at Malachi's portrayal of a God-honoring priest. If you turn to Malachi 1, we'll note what he has to say to his contemporary apostate priests. Contemporary, those who are living at the same time as him, how he rebukes them. Malachi 1, verse 10. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? These priests wouldn't even shut the doors of the temple unless they got paid somehow. They wouldn't even close the doors for nothing. Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. They wouldn't start the fire that they were supposed to be doing. Keep the fire on the altar perpetually. Now you got to pay me. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Why? Because their heart was not right with God. It was not motivated by the Spirit. It was duty and prestige. They were apostate. They were in it only for what they could get out of it materially. Look in verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. From the east to the west, my name's going to be great among the Gentiles. You priests think because you're Jews, you are chosen, you think you're special? Your heart is not with me. I refuse you. But my name is going to be great among the Gentiles. From the east to the west, in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name. Incense, mingled with prayers perhaps, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord. Malachi prophesied that in every place, God's name would be great. The Gentiles would offer incense and pure offerings to God's name. I think that's a prophecy of the church. That God was going to set Israel aside temporarily, be here for the afternoon service, and call out a people from the Gentiles who would praise his name by offering incense and pure offerings. So what is that? Gentiles weren't given the sacrificial system. They were not to sacrifice the animals under Mosaic law. They were Gentiles, not Jews. What are those sacrifices? What's the incense and the pure offerings? The things that we've been speaking of. The spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Paul, remember, he said, God made me an apostle to the Gentiles so that I could offer up those who have been redeemed by him.
To him. Believers, we have spiritual privileges that begin the moment the Holy Spirit draws us into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We then have access to the very presence of God. Not through another human priest, not through the veil, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. We can go anytime. We can come anytime into God's presence. We have access. What a privilege that we neglect, that we forget, that we take commonplace. Many people, as Peter said in the metaphor, rejected the stone. How often do we as believers ignore the stone? Knowing he'll always be there, knowing he's faithful, as we mentioned last, well, I guess that was Tuesday night, about praying, getting forgiveness, and not realizing the price that it takes for God to forgive us. We have this access to the presence of God as a holy priesthood. We are being built up a spiritual house where God dwells. Not this building made with lumber and plaster, but a spiritual house. God dwells in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What occurs in the temple? What occurred in the temple? Sacrifices. We too are to offer. But we're a spiritual temple. We offer spiritual sacrifices. And as we look briefly at these seven spiritual sacrifices that the New Testament labels as acceptable, ourselves, our praise, our doing good, our sharing, our converts, our loving one another, and our prayers. Aren't those things just basic characteristics of the Christian life? Aren't they? Praising God, living for him as our Lord, our boss, giving, sharing, praying for one another, sharing the gospel, doing good. When we do those basic things of Christianity, when they're Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-motivated, we're pleasing the Lord. One of the functions of the church is to encourage saints to fulfill our priestly duties. To the degree that the church accomplishes that is the degree that the church is successful. Brothers and sisters, are you performing your priestly duties? Are you offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would use your word, that your Holy Spirit would show us areas of our life where we need to be conformed to Christ. Father, help us to offer continually the praise of our lips, sacrifices, the calves of our lips. May we offer you ourselves as a living sacrifice. May we share with others what we have. May we witness to others
May we do good works. Father, may we also pray. Seek to glorify you. Father, you are so worthy. Help us to make time to get away from the busyness of our lives and commune with you. May we then be able to go and to offer these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Odin.
This is from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him? And it shall be recompensed again to him. For of him, meaning of Christ, and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen.